Welcome to this audio issue of Porter Stansberry's Complete Investor, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. This issue was originally published on Thursday, January 8, 2026. The convergence. The intersection of two immense forces will generate extraordinary wealth in the years ahead. Why energy is our number one investment theme for 2026. It's likely to be the single most important trend shaping the financial markets, the U.S. economy, and even the geopolitical landscape in the years ahead. Yet few investors truly understand the implications today. Wall Street and Main Street are too distracted, arguing over which company will win the artificial intelligence, AI, race. Nobody knows whether tariffs are good or bad, their taxes, and they're bad, and whether stocks will soar or crash, it's nuanced. Meanwhile, they're ignoring one of the most powerful and inevitable investment trends in history, one that has the potential to deliver extraordinary returns over the long term for investors who are positioned correctly. We're referring to the convergence of AI and energy that is already well underway. But to understand the magnitude of what's coming, and why this is our top investment theme for 2026, we first need to step back in time. The two forces driving humanity. The long arc of human technological development has always been driven by these two forces, energy and intelligence. Man's discovery of fire and written language was the first epoch, leading to the emergence of civilization, innovation in tools and weapons, the development of religion, and to the establishment of centers of learning and memory, like at Alexandria. Wood, to burn and build, fueled much of this growth, but by the 1600s, the English, one of the premier global powers at the time, were running out of trees. The English navy needed giant trees to make warships to defend their island nation. More directly, the scarcity of trees threatened human lives as the population grew and there wasn't enough energy to cook food and heat homes. So, the British developed coal mining. Beginning in 1600, shipments of coal into London grew exponentially from only 35,000 tons, when it was used by royalty to heat castles, to 467,000 tons in 1700, up 1,234%. As it became London's dominant fuel source. The dramatic increase in coal production and usage in the 1600s was truly remarkable, and it made good economic sense. Coal contains twice as much energy per pound as wood. By 1800, following the introduction of the Newcomen steam engine in 1712, to pump water out of coal mines, the United Kingdom was producing an astonishing 10 million tons of coal, plus 2,041% in 100 years, per year. Coal production would peak around 1900 at almost 300 million tons per year, plus 3,000% in 100 years. And with this energy, humanity flourished. For almost 1,000 years, between 100 AD and 1000 AD, London's population remained around 50,000. It took another 500 years to double to 100,000 by 1500. It then doubled again in only 100 years, to 200,000 by 1600. But then, because of a lack of energy, the population collapsed. Then came coal, and London's population grew to 1 million by 1800, roughly 4 times more people than the city had previously been able to support at any point earlier. By 1900, 6.5 million people lived in London, making it the largest city in the world. It's remarkable that even now, 500 years later, coal is still the dominant source of energy in the world, and thus still the foundation of human life. Over the last 22 years, more than 1.4 thousand gigawatts, GW, of new coal-fired capacity has come online, almost all of it in India or China. To put that in perspective, that's more new coal-fired power in the last 2 decades than America's total installed base of all forms of power generation, 1.2 thousand gigawatt. Yet, despite all of this, the world still doesn't have enough energy. That's because the demand for energy is endless. Most people do not understand that the demand curve for energy and for intelligence do not follow classical economic models. There is never enough supply of either to satisfy demand. All other commodities are disciplined by marginal utility. This is the idea that while one car, for example, can greatly increase your personal productivity, another car will not yield much, if any, increase to productivity and, therefore, isn't worth as much to you. But that simply isn't true when it comes to energy or intelligence. Computer programmers, for example, discovered that no matter how much memory is built onto a chip, software designers will always use all of it, and still want more. Likewise, demand for electricity is simply endless. No matter how much electricity is produced, under peak demand, all of it will be used unless pricing restricts demand. In short, when it comes to energy, demand always exceeds supply. Societies that provision energy efficiently grow their wealth. Look at per capita electricity production and you'll find it is perfectly correlated to wealth, per capita gross domestic product, GDP. Likewise, there is a very close relationship between electrical demand and computing per capita too. And that relationship between electricity, computing power, and wealth is about to explode. The AI power problem. In June 2024, Porter & Company released a groundbreaking report entitled The Parallel Processing Revolution. Read it here if you have not already done so. Now, 18 months later, we believe this trend represents the most important shift since the invention of the computer itself. Instead of performing one task at a time, modern graphics processing units, GPUs, can perform millions of operations simultaneously, working in parallel, unlocking colossal computing power. Parallel processing is what has made AI possible. It's why computers can now recognize images, write code, drive vehicles, converse with humans, and simulate the physical world with startling accuracy. But here's the part everyone is missing. Parallel processing doesn't just multiply intelligence, it also multiplies energy demand, exponentially. A single modern AI server rack can draw 10 to 20 times more power than a traditional data center setup. That means a single GPU-driven data center, running up to hundreds of racks at once, can consume as much electricity as 50,000 homes. Multiply that across hundreds of data centers, across dozens of states, and you begin to see the massive problem barreling down on us. And the more powerful these chips become, the worse it gets. Because remember, intelligence is not constrained by diminishing marginal utility. The more compute power available, the more we will use, and the more we will demand. This means energy demand will continue to rise. The energy demand from parallel processing is already unlike anything we've ever seen before. There are currently more than 500 new GPU-driven data centers planned across the U.S. When complete, these facilities could consume nearly 9% of total U.S. power capacity. In short, we are facing a massive electrical power crunch over the next several years. Where will all this electricity come from? There's lots of talk and investment into solar panels and wind turbines, but they simply cannot meet this challenge, at least not alone, and not in time. Despite $10 trillion invested globally in alternative energy, neither wind nor solar provide even 2% of global energy production. Hydrocarbons, oil and gas, the dreaded fossil fuels, still supply more than 80% of the world's energy, roughly the same percentage as 30 years ago. The fundamental problem is intermittency. Wind and solar are weather dependent. As U.S. Secretary of Energy Chris Wright put it in a recent interview, relying on wind and solar for baseload power is like ordering an Uber that you don't know when it will show up or where it will drop you off. No consumer would pay for such a service. Yet the U.S. grid currently pays a premium for it. Data centers cannot tolerate this uncertainty. They require 99.99% plus reliability, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Solar panels don't work at night. Wind turbines don't spin when the air is still, and battery storage at the scale required remains economically prohibitive. Daniel Yergin, vice chairman of S&P Global and one of the world's foremost energy experts, recently explained that what we're experiencing is not an energy transition but rather an energy addition. Yergin also notes that energy transitions historically take a century, not years or decades, and previous shifts, from wood to coal, from coal to oil, never fully replace the old source. Renewable energies are a blip at the moment. They may slowly increase their contribution over time, but for now they are a sideshow, even a distraction. The reality is clear. The parallel processing revolution can't proceed without hydrocarbons. The only question is which ones, and for how long. Natural gas is likely to be the biggest winner. If you want to understand where the smart money is flowing, consider this. Ken Griffin's Citadel made a $1.2 billion investment into natural gas last year. Griffin is arguably the smartest investor of the last 40 years. He started doing quantitative trading in his Harvard dorm room in 1987, turned $250,000 into $13 million by graduation, and has since produced 20% annualized returns while generating more than $125 billion in profit for his investors. Griffin Citadel employs over 300 PhDs in computer science and data analytics. Their securities trading business handles about 40% of all retail investor trades, giving them unmatched real-time market intelligence. When Citadel makes a move this significant, it's worth paying attention. And their models are telling them what we've been saying for years now. Demand for American natural gas is going to soar. Here's why. In 2024, of all the fossil fuels, natural gas saw the strongest demand growth at 2.7%, an increase of 115 billion cubic meters versus an annual average of about 75 billion cubic meters. This wasn't a one-time spike, it's the beginning of a structural shift. And look where that demand is coming from. Natural gas currently provides more than 40% of data center electricity. That percentage is growing rapidly, and unlike heating demand, data centers never turn off. There's zero seasonal flexibility. The demand picture gets even more dramatic when you factor in liquefied natural gas, LNG, exports. In 2024, LNG exports totaled 11.9 billion cubic feet per day, BCF/D, and consumed 11.5% of total U.S. production. There are currently seven major LNG construction projects near completion or underway in the U.S. Exxon Qatar's Golden Pass, Texas, Venture Global's Plaquemines, Louisiana, Cheniere's Corpus Christi Stage 3, Texas, NextDecade's Rio Grande, Texas, Sempra's Port Arthur, Texas, Venture Global's CP2, Louisiana, and Energy Transfer's Lake Charles, Louisiana. When completed, these facilities will add another 18 BCF/D of export capacity, taking total export capacity to 30 BCF/D, or roughly 3x current levels. That's more than the entire U.S. electrical generation sector uses today. Thus, by 2030, LNG exports plus AI compute energy demand will consume over 50 BCF/D of natural gas, roughly half of total U.S. production. Supply is expected to grow, at most, by 10%. Given these factors, we'll likely see natural gas trading above $10 per MMBtu, million British thermal units, by 2030. It's currently less than $4. And when there are significant demand spikes in the winter, we could easily see prices temporarily jump to as high as $50 per MMBtu. Coal is making a comeback. Coal's share of U.S. electricity generation has fallen from 51% in 2001 to about 16% today, and that decline is unlikely to reverse anytime soon. But here's what is happening. The planned retirement of coal plants is increasingly being delayed or halted entirely. The U.S. currently has approximately 190 gigawatts of operational coal-fired capacity. According to S&P Global, since the start of 2023, plans to retire nearly 40 gigawatts of coal capacity, roughly one-third of all previously announced coal retirement capacity, have either been delayed or avoided through planned conversions to gas-fired generation. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has invoked emergency powers to keep some coal plants running. Speaking at an event last September, Energy Secretary Wright said the administration had been in contact with many utilities across the U.S. and expects that the majority of coal-fired plants slated for retirement over the next few years will delay closure. The logic is straightforward. Retired coal plants offer something that no new construction can match: immediate, cost-effective infrastructure. They already have heavy-duty transmission lines, substations, pre-zoned industrial land, and community familiarity with large-scale operations. Building equivalent infrastructure from scratch would cost hundreds of millions and delay projects by years. This is why Amazon, AMZN, Alphabet, GOOG, and Microsoft, MSFT, are all investing in sites previously occupied by coal facilities. There's also potential to temporarily expand coal-powered production significantly in the near term if needed. According to James Grech, CEO of coal miner Peabody Energy, BTU, U.S. coal plants are currently using only about 42% of their maximum capacity, compared to a historical average of 72%. As Secretary Wright put it, "If we want to grow America's electricity production meaningfully over the next 5 or 10 years, we've got to stop closing coal plants." Oil, the overlooked beneficiary. While crude oil plays a negligible role in direct electrical generation in the U.S., it is still likely to benefit from the acceleration of the parallel processing revolution. That's because petroleum is woven through every layer of AI's infrastructure. Start with the hardware itself. Petrochemicals derived from crude oil are essential inputs for the plastics, resins, lubricants, and coolants used in AI systems. Every circuit board, GPU casing, server rack, and cooling system contains oil-based materials. Without petroleum-derived feedstocks, the global rollout of AI infrastructure would be impossible. Then there are logistics. Semiconductors manufactured in Asia, servers assembled across multiple regions, and data center materials shipped worldwide all depend on oil-fueled ships, aircraft, and trucks. The supply chain that makes AI possible runs on diesel and jet fuel. And here's something most people don't realize: data centers rely heavily on diesel backup generators to ensure uninterrupted operations. These generators are critical for guaranteeing near-perfect reliability. Though they run only occasionally, their scale across thousands of facilities translates into meaningful oil consumption. In addition, in some parts of the world, including the Middle East, Africa, and small island nations, oil-fired power plants remain central to electricity generation for data centers. And even here in the United States, peaker plants, oil-fueled plants that were traditionally only used to supplement baseload power during periods of peak demand, are increasingly being pressed into service to meet surging AI demand. A recent Reuters analysis found that about 60% of the power plants slated for retirement in the PJM Interconnection, the largest regional transmission organization, RTO, in the U.S., which operates the electrical grid for 13 states and Washington, D.C., postponed or canceled those plans in 2025. And most of the plants averting shutdowns were peaker units run on oil. Again, Energy Secretary Wright sees this as just the beginning. There are a ton of peaker plants that could operate more. The biggest targets are spare capacity on the grid today. While peaker plants currently contribute about 3% of the country's power, they have the total capacity to produce 19%. Altogether, in 2025, AI-related oil consumption, including oil-fired electricity, diesel backup, petrochemical feedstocks, and logistics, accounted for approximately 1.4 million barrels per day, BPD, or about 1.4% of global demand. By 2030, projections suggest this figure could rise to nearly 5 million BPD, equivalent to as much as 5% of worldwide consumption. At an assumed oil price of $80 per barrel, AI-related oil spending could reach nearly $150 billion by 2030. This doesn't make oil a primary beneficiary of the AI boom. Natural gas and coal will capture the lion's share of new power demand in the near term. But oil deserves a place in the conversation, not as a growth story, but as yet another old economy sector that's being pulled back into relevance by the insatiable energy demand of AI. Nuclear, the long-term solution. But while natural gas and coal will bridge the immediate gap, the ultimate solution for powering the AI revolution is nuclear energy. The energy density is simply unmatched. A 10-gram uranium pellet, about the weight of a peanut, releases as much energy as burning 4,350 gallons of oil, 22 tons of coal, or 590,000 cubic feet of natural gas. Nuclear fuel contains 1.5 million to 2.5 million times more energy per unit of mass than fossil fuels. For data centers, nuclear offers the perfect profile: reliable baseload power, operating 24/7 regardless of weather conditions, with capacity factors exceeding 92.5%. Nuclear plants can run 18 to 24 months between refuelings, with planned outages lasting only a few weeks. Some advanced reactor designs aim to operate 10 years without refueling. The tech giants have already noticed and acted. In 2024, global private investment in advanced nuclear companies surpassed the combined value of such deals over the previous 15 years. Microsoft signed a 20-year power purchase agreement with Constellation Energy to restart Three Mile Island Unit 1, a $1.6 billion project set to generate 835 megawatts, MW, of carbon-free electricity exclusively for Microsoft's data centers by 2028. Google has announced partnerships aimed at bringing gigawatts of nuclear capacity online by 2030. Amazon purchased a Pennsylvania data center that draws power directly from an adjacent nuclear plant and is investing heavily in small modular reactor, SMR, technology. The U.S. Department of Energy, DOE, is also supporting restarts of the Palisades plant in Michigan and Duane Arnold in Iowa. Restarting an existing nuclear plant costs approximately $1 billion to $2 billion for nearly 1 gigawatt of capacity, far cheaper than the $37 billion required for a new plant of similar capacity. There's also significant potential in converting retired coal plants to nuclear power. According to Deloitte, 128 to 174 gigawatts of nuclear capacity could be retrofitted at operating and retired coal plants, with capital expenditure savings of 15% to 34%. At least 11 states have publicly expressed interest in this approach. But SMRs represent the next frontier. With capacity up to 300 MWs, they offer greater flexibility and can be deployed on smaller sites. Their modular construction and standardized components help reduce costs and shorten timelines. But here's the crucial caveat: widespread commercial deployment of advanced reactors is likely to arrive no earlier than the 2030s at best. Licensing, demonstrating, and deploying new designs takes years, so the industry will have no choice but to rely on dirty energy in the interim. Our number one theme for 2026. The last time the setup for energy looked this compelling was the late 1990s. As Wall Street chased internet stocks, it ignored old economy sectors like energy. By the peak of the dot-com bubble, the energy sector was historically cheap, the direct inverse of the overvaluation in the tech sector. When the bubble finally burst, there was a massive mean reversion that resulted in many energy stocks exploding in value. Over the following decade, As shown in the chart above, these stocks not only beat tech stocks by a wide margin, but also outperformed the broader market, and contrarian investors who defied the herd and bought energy stocks at their historically low valuations made an absolute killing. Big, blue-chip stocks like ExxonMobil, XOM, Chevron, CVX, and ConocoPhillips, COP, gained well over 1,000%, while many smaller energy companies soared even more. We believe the stage is now set for a similar opportunity, except this time, the potential returns could be even greater. Not only has the energy sector been suppressed for years due to anti-fossil fuel rhetoric and political pressure, but investment in new facilities, new exploration, and new drilling was massively suppressed by environmentalists. And though energy CapEx has rebounded from its 2022 lows, it still remains historically low. In fact, as the chart below highlights, on average, energy companies still aren't even investing enough to maintain their current production, let alone grow it. And again, this is happening at a time when the world is demanding more energy than ever before. This structural supply and demand imbalance suggests energy prices must move higher, and potentially much higher, from here. Yet, as tech stocks trade at unsustainable, nosebleed valuations, energy stocks are still downright cheap. The broad energy sector is trading 40% below its 10-year average price-to-earnings, P/E, ratio. We don't expect this to last, as the impact of the supply-demand imbalance becomes clear, and the world begins to understand that the parallel processing revolution is here to stay and thus requires more cheaper energy. We expect the undervalued energy sector will soar. Fortunately, Compete Investor subscribers are in a perfect position to benefit from this trend. Porter & Company's Compete Investor already includes a mix of wonderful energy businesses with a range of exposure to the natural gas, coal, oil, and nuclear industries. While we will be looking to add additional energy investments in the months ahead, for now we are simply adjusting our buy-up to price on one of these existing recommendations to ensure new subscribers can establish a position if they have not already done so. Raising the buy-up to price on EQT, NYSE, EQT is America's largest producer of natural gas. The company sits on roughly 2 million acres of the Marcellus Shale, the biggest natural gas field in the country and one of the largest energy reserves in the world. As longtime subscribers know, the story here is really about Toby and Derek Rice, the gods of gas. These brothers from Pittsburgh built their own shale company, sold it to EQT for $6.7 billion in 2017, then launched a proxy fight in 2019 when they saw management bungling the operation. They won 80% of the vote, Toby became CEO, and they got to work. The turnaround was dramatic. Well costs dropped 47%, drilling speeds nearly doubled, gross margins more than doubled. The brothers scooped up Chevron's entire Marcellus position for just $735 million during a pandemic fire sale, assets Chevron had valued at $8 billion. EQT now controls enough proven reserves, around 25 trillion cubic feet, to supply gas for decades. Our thesis centers on the two massive demand drivers we mentioned earlier. First, AI and data centers are creating an insatiable appetite for electricity. Second, U.S. LNG export capacity is set to roughly double by 2028 to 2029 as new terminals come online. That means American gas, currently trapped in a domestic market, will finally access global prices, which historically trade at substantial premiums. There's also a third tailwind developing now. Lower oil prices over the past year have caused drillers to pull back on production. That means less associated gas, the natural gas that comes up alongside oil wells, hitting the market. Less supply, more demand. You know how that equation works. We're raising our buy-up to price to reflect our conviction that 2026 should be a breakout year for natural gas. Action to take. Buy EQT, NYSE, EQT, up to $60 per share. Maintaining the current buy-up to price on Venture Global. Founded in Arlington, Virginia in 2013, Venture Global, NYSE, VG, is a fast-growing LNG exporter. The company went public in January 2025 with a simple but audacious mission: build LNG projects faster, cheaper, and better than anyone else. It has delivered on that promise. While competitors like Cheniere Energy, LNG, use the traditional stick-built method, custom manufacturing massive liquefaction trains on-site with hundreds of workers, Venture Global pioneered a modular approach. It pre-builds smaller liquefaction trains in off-site facilities, ships them to the project site, and essentially plugs them in. The company calls it Design One, Build Many. The results speak for themselves. Venture Global completed its first project, the Calcasieu Pass Terminal, in Louisiana, in just 2.5 years from final investment decision to first cargo, a full year faster than comparable Cheniere facilities. Their second project, Plaquemines, also in Louisiana, has twice the capacity but took roughly the same time to build. They simply shipped in twice as many pre-built trains. This speed advantage translates directly into cash. Venture Global went from zero earnings in 2021 to an expected $6.6 billion in earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, EBITDA, in 2025, just 5% shy of industry leader Schneider, despite being a fraction of its age. The company expects $15 billion in revenue in 2026. And this is just the beginning. Venture Global is on the cusp of receiving approval to proceed with construction of its next project, known as Calcasieu Pass 2, CP2, with a nameplate capacity of 28 million tons per annum, MPTA, CP2 will be America's largest LNG terminal. Venture Global expects to begin producing cargoes at full scale by the late 2020s, at which point it should overtake Cheniere as America's leading LNG exporter. The company also has two massive projects in the works following CP2, which if completed, would make Venture Global the single largest LNG exporter in the world, exceeding the capacity of the entire country of current global leader Qatar. The stock recently suffered from a legal setback in arbitration with energy giant BP over contract disputes from 2022, but the liability is manageable against $6.6 billion in annual EBITDA and deep access capital. Contract structures have also been amended to prevent recurrence, and the underlying LNG demand story remains unchanged. With Venture Global on the verge of securing regulatory approval for its third project, we believe now is the time to own a share in what will soon become America's leading LNG exporter. Action to take. Buy Venture Global, NYSE, VG, up to $20 per share. Maintaining the current buy-up to price on Core Natural Resources. Core Natural Resources, NYSE, Corner, is a major U.S. coal producer formed in January 2025 through the merger of Consol Energy and Arch Resources. The combined company is the number two producer of metallurgical coal in the country and the top thermal coal producer, two times larger than its closest thermal coal peer. The idea is simple: create a one-stop shop for coal buyers. As noted earlier, coal has been losing to natural gas for years. But again, the AI revolution is changing that calculus. Thermal coal saw a 15% demand uptick in 2025 as data centers constant, high-volume power needs favor coal's baseload reliability over intermittent renewables. And with natural gas prices poised to rise in 2026, driven by growing data center demand and new LNG export capacity coming online, thermal coal prices should follow suit. Core Natural Resources is well positioned geographically to capitalize. Its mines in central Appalachia sit near Virginia's data center corridor, reducing transportation costs. Action to take. Buy Core Natural Resources, NYSE, Corner, up to $120 per share. Maintaining the current buy-up to price on Viper Energy. The news of President Donald Trump's plan to take control of Venezuela's vast oil resources sent U.S. shale stocks tumbling this week, including one of our favorite oil and gas royalty companies, Viper Energy, NASDAQ, VANEM. Investors apparently fear a flood of Venezuelan production will steal market share from domestic producers. We think this view is dead wrong. Venezuela's production infrastructure has been left to rot after decades of socialist mismanagement. Estimates suggest bringing output back to meaningful levels would take a decade of work and well over $100 billion of investment. Most of Venezuela's crude is also extra-heavy sour oil that requires specialized upgrader facilities that are currently in shambles. And with global markets already awash in cheap crude, the supermajors have little incentive to rush in, especially given the political risks involved. In short, it will be many years, perhaps a decade, before Venezuelan exports meaningfully increase. Thus, we view the recent sell-off in U.S. shale producers as an attractive buying opportunity, particularly in Viper. For those unfamiliar, Viper Energy operates what we consider one of the most elegant business models in the energy sector: mineral rights ownership. The company doesn't drill wells, operate rigs, or employ roughnecks. It simply owns the mineral rights beneath some of the most productive acreage in the Permian Basin, America's premier oil and gas formation. When operators like Diamondback Energy, FANG, drill on Viper's land, Viper collects a royalty on every barrel produced. This structure transforms a notoriously capital-intensive industry into a capital-efficient cash machine. Viper converts over 40% of each dollar in revenue into pure free cash flow. Most energy producers would kill for half that. The company returns much of this cash right back to shareholders, with a current annualized dividend yield of 6.7%, consisting of a 33 cents regular quarterly dividend, plus a 25 cents special dividend, which fluctuates with energy prices. As inflation drives energy prices higher, the mineral rights Viper acquired years ago become ever more valuable. Meanwhile, the AI revolution has created an unexpected new demand for natural gas, the fuel needed to power the data centers driving this technological boom. Viper's acreage produces both oil and natural gas, positioning the company to benefit from both secular trends. Since our original recommendation in September 2022, Viper has delivered a 49% total return, or roughly 13% annualized. But we believe there's significantly more upside ahead. Buy Viper Energy, NASDAQ, NUM, up to $45 per share. Maintaining the current buy-up-to price on Texas Pacific land. In 1888, when bondholders of the bankrupt Texas and Pacific Railway received 3.5 million acres of desolate West Texas prairie as compensation, most considered it worthless scrubland. They had no idea they were sitting on one of the richest oil deposits on Earth. Fast forward 136 years, and Texas Pacific Land, NYSE, TPL, has quietly become one of the greatest wealth creation machines in American market history. An initial investment of $3,000 at the company's founding would be worth roughly $2 billion, with a B, today. Yet despite this extraordinary track record, most investors have never heard of it. Texas Pacific owns approximately 880,000 surface acres and 207,000 net royalty acres in the heart of the Permian Basin. But unlike traditional energy producers, it simply collects royalties when others produce oil on its land. The result? Net profit margins exceeding 60%, with virtually all of those profits converting directly to free cash flow. The company's business model is elegantly simple. It owns both surface and mineral rights, a rare combination that allows Texas Pacific to profit from everything that happens on and under its land. Oil royalties, water sales, pipeline easements, produced water disposal, every activity generates high-margin revenue with minimal capital requirements. The company has just 100 employees and zero debt. However, Texas Pacific is rapidly evolving beyond its traditional oil and gas roots into what may become a compelling AI infrastructure bet few investors have considered. In December, the company announced a strategic partnership with Bolt Data and Energy, a company co-founded by former Alphabet CEO Eric Schmidt. The deal positions Texas Pacific to develop large-scale data center campuses across its vast West Texas holdings. Texas Pacific invested $50 million for an equity stake, warrants, and a right of first refusal to supply water to Bolt-affiliated projects. The logic is compelling. AI data centers require three things in abundance: cheap power, cooling water, and available land. The Permian offers all three: natural gas so plentiful that prices sometimes go negative, vast aquifers accessible through Texas Pacific's water operations, and hundreds of thousands of acres far from zoning disputes. As CEO Ty Glover noted, West Texas could become one of the largest concentrations of AI compute infrastructure globally. Meanwhile, the company's water business continues its explosive growth trajectory, with revenue from water sales and produced water royalties increasing at a more than minus 50% compound annual rate since 2016. This segment now represents roughly 30% of total revenue and provides diversification from commodity price volatility. At current prices around $300, post its recent stock split, TPL trades at roughly 40x earnings, seemingly expensive compared to traditional energy stocks. But this isn't a traditional energy stock. With greater than 60% profit margins, zero debt, double-digit earnings growth from water alone, and the emerging data center opportunity essentially priced at zero, we believe TPL deserves a premium valuation. Buy Texas Pacific Land, NYSE, TPL, up to $335 per share. Maintaining the current buy-up-to price on BWX Technologies. BWX Technologies, NYSE, BWXT, has cemented itself as the sole manufacturer of nuclear reactors and fuel for U.S. Navy submarines and aircraft carriers. It's also one of only two companies licensed to store and process highly enriched uranium for these reactors. In short, BWXT enjoys something vanishingly rare in today's competitive markets, a true monopoly on a mission-critical defense capability. The government sector accounts for roughly 80% of BWXT's revenue, nearly all of it under long-term contracts. This creates a remarkably stable and predictable business. As a monopoly supplier, BWXT can set prices within reason and lock in steady profit margins. If a project incurs unexpected cost overruns, BWXT can charge the Navy back fees to ensure it hits its targets. The result is a business with minimal exposure to economic cycles. Defense spending tends to grow even during recessions. But the real excitement lies in BWXT's role in the emerging nuclear renaissance. The company won the Department of Defense's Project Pele contract to build America's first portable microreactor, a nuclear power plant small enough to fit in a shipping container, capable of powering forward operating bases without the vulnerability of diesel fuel convoys. The civilian applications of such technology are staggering. With data centers demanding unprecedented amounts of reliable baseload power, and the grid straining under electrification mandates, nuclear energy is finally shaking off decades of political stigma. BWXT sits at the center of this transformation, possessing the intellectual property, security clearances, and vertically integrated supply chain that would take competitors decades to replicate. Unfortunately, BWXT has been swept up in the nuclear craze of late, sending the share price higher. At its current price around $190 per share, the stock is trading at around 50x earnings, making it extremely risky to buy today. It would also be difficult to justify raising our current buy-up to price of $110. The stock would still be trading at a relatively rich valuation of 30x earnings even at that level. However, we see no reason to force the issue. As we noted earlier, the bullish case for nuclear power is a long-term story, and there will likely be opportunities to invest in this trend at more reasonable valuations down the road. We'll continue to monitor this company and others in the industry for a future buying opportunity. For now, realizing it is trading above our buy-up to price, our advice remains the same. Action to take. Buy BWX Technologies, NYSE, BWXT, up to $110 per share. Porter & Company. Stevenson, Maryland. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter Stansberry's Complete Investor. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 buys where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.